is about exploring the darkness and embracing the light, similar to last night, but we're going to take off from there because there's something wonderful about understanding when we're in that quiet, fallow time of rest and trusting and praying and waiting in a very constructive way, because we can get so wound up being human doings that we forget we're human beings, much less that we're divine beings acting as human beings and pretending to be human doings. So the rest, the wait, the pulling back, the settling in, the trusting, the opening up our hearts. Oh, you are there. Hi. I was just practicing until you got here. So I love John O'Donohue. Do you know Anamkara? It's one of our favorite books. John O'Donohue, it's a book of Celtic wisdom. And I used his quote in what we sent out this week. We come out of the night into the day. All creativity awakens at this primal threshold where light and darkness test and bless each other. I love that. Sort of like Hohelios and Hobarios. What did I call them? Yes, Borios. It's been a long time. They test and bless each other. I like anthropomorphizing things like wind and sun and winter and spring. Make it a live thing, because it is. You only discover balance in your life when you learn to trust the flow of this ancient rhythm. Oh, wow, did we have some ancient rhythms last night in the solstice? Whoa, that was amazing. Amazing. If you weren't able to be here, please put it on your calendar for next year. So we are approaching the winter solstice. We did it last night because it was perfect to have it on a Saturday night. But it's coming up this week. And when it does, well, things are going to start shifting even more. And we may become impatient for the cold dark to lessen. You know, once we got off of daylight saving time, did you notice that people's moods changed a little bit? It's like, I can't see anymore. It's time to go to bed now. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know, the birds and the animals are smarter than we are sometimes, because they didn't invent the electric light. When it gets dark, they go to sleep. Maybe we're supposed to do that too. You know, think about that. And get up and see these fabulous sunrises. So we become impatient, and that song was perfect. Let's remember to just stop, pull back, and rest. It is the time to honor those fallow times, the silent opportunities to deepen our connection with spirit. To stop and breathe and get deeper. And then we grow in the understanding of the inner work that we're privileged to do. And that's what I mean by exploring the darkness. When I'm going through something where I need to pull back and become more aware of those subconscious patterns that may have been showing up in my life, and that's how I discover that I have a subconscious pattern, because things show up in my life and they keep showing up in my life, that it tells me, stop, Maxine, wait a minute, pull back, listen. Go back, go down so deeply inside that I become the acorn again. You know, I'm an oak tree. I want to become an acorn again. And the acorn, of course, has the entire oak tree within it. Did you ever stop to think about that? It's not that it has to become an oak tree. It is already an oak tree, just as you and I are already godlings. We are already the divine presence wanting us to rediscover it in our human selves. And it's a wonderful thing that divinity expresses through humanity. It's a beautiful dance that we get to do. We learn that we are spiritual beings. We learn that we are also, we're not only supremely spiritual, but we're happily human. And we do the whole thing, but we come back to the acorn. We're already whole, but we're back to our acorn-ness. And just get real quiet and listen. That's when I begin to hear I don't hear voices, don't worry, it's okay. But the ear of my heart begins to hear what it is that I am ready to look at. Because when uncomfortable things, the cold, icy wind, or whatever may come up in our lives, it's not there to hurt us. That's just what happens in our world. And when it does, I want to know how it is that I'm perhaps reacting to it rather than responding to it wisely and lovingly. And so that's when I begin to ask the question, when I'm in my smaller self, I'll ask, what is it that's showing up in my life that's telling me there is a pattern? Maybe the pattern within me is something like having a negative expectation. Maybe it started out at a time when I was a child and I developed a negative expectation that if somebody says or does this or that, then that will follow. Well, we keep those patterns with us for years. Did you know that? And until we're willing to look at them, these things are not coming up to hurt us. They're coming up for a healing. And they come up in the darkness. They come up when we're in that place where we need to be still and listen. Okay, I understand now that Uncle Fred said something unkind when I was 5 and I took it the wrong way. I don't need to have that in me anymore. So I'm willing to have it changed. I'm willing to have this great loving power within me transform it into understanding more. Because Uncle Fred wasn't trying to be cold and mean any more than the north wind is. It was just its nature. It's just like, I think I've told you about the little boy whose father's boss was coming to dinner. Okay, then I won't have to tell you again, right? Oh, all right, because there's some of you might not have heard it. And so the little boy was about 5, and he had heard all these stories that weren't always pleasant about his father's employer. They were having him to dinner, so he introduced him to the little boy and had him sit down, took his coat, and the father went out in the kitchen to help mother, and the little boy is sitting there with his father's boss, and he says, "My daddy says you're a self-made man." And he says, "Yes, sonny, that's right I am." So little Johnny looked at him and said, "Why'd you make yourself like that?" So we get to look at why we made ourselves like that. And without blame, without finger pointing, because it is true. I know you've heard this, but it's true. Every person in your life, as we were growing up, did the best they knew how at the time. Teachers, relatives, neighbors did the best they could at the time. So it's time for us to let go of that. Yeah, but if it weren't for... No, the things that come into our lives that don't feel as warm and fuzzy as most of the things that we experience here, they come in so that we can, that's God calling, so that we can look at what we're ready to transform and become more of our oak tree selves. So let's go deeply within. Let's let ourselves be nurtured as the acorn is when it's under the ground. Let's let ourselves just let go and feel there's growth taking place. And I'm going to listen to what my heart is telling me, to what the presence of the Christ within me is guiding me to understand and to transform. Because we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it takes a new thought to change an old pattern. And then it takes practice. Socrates, of course, was asked centuries ago, "How do you get to Mount Olympus?" And you all know the answer, right? It's the same as when, was it Yasha Heifetz who was asked how you get to Lincoln Center? Same answer. Ready? All together? Practice, practice, practice. So that's it. It doesn't happen just in a twinkling of an eye, although things can change that fast. But typically, at least I know for myself, I want to do my daily spiritual practices daily, in order to continue to move along the road of my spiritual unfoldment, my spiritual maturation. Because, yes, we're the children of God, and we become the teenagers of God, but I'm really up for us becoming the adults of God, aren't you? It's time for us to grow into our spiritual maturity. And part of that growth takes place by being willing to go into the quiet cave of our hearts. I'm going to read a little bit more from John O'Donohue. The world rests at night. Trees, mountains, fields, and faces are released from the prison of shape and the burden of exposure. Each thing creeps back into its own nature within the shelter of the dark. Darkness is the ancient womb. Nighttime is womb time. Our souls come out to play. The darkness absolves everything. The struggle for identity and impression falls away. We rest in the night. The dawn is a refreshing time, a time of possibility and promise. All the elements of nature, stones, fields, trees, and animals, are suddenly there anew in the fresh dawn light. Just as darkness brings rest and release, so the dawn brings awakening and renewal. In our mediocrity and distraction, we forget that we are privileged to live in a wondrous universe. Each day, the dawn unveils the mystery of this universe. Dawn is the ultimate surprise. It awakens us to the immense there-ness of nature. The wonderful subtle color of the universe arises to clothe everything. This is captured in a phrase from William Blake. Colors are the wounds of light. Colors bring out the depth of secret presence at the heart of nature. And I love my beloved friend, Dr. Jane Claypool, who was also a precious friend of Reverend Mike, passed away a couple of years ago. One of her most wonderful statements was, and it was always addressed to somebody who had been through a really dark soul of the night, dark night of the soul, either way. She's the morning winds. Don't you love that? Morning winds. No matter what. We're awake. We're alive. The sun is up again. Morning winds. We all have these dark places that we go through. And when we're in this really wonderful, wonderful season of love, and as we're awaiting the rebirth of that divinity within us, which is what's signaled by the birth of the Christ child, we can become impatient, we can get off track, we can get distracted. That I was thinking as you were singing that song, Elise, I wonder what a child would think of, I'm waiting, I'm stopping, I'm waiting, I'm patient, I'm trusting, I want Santa to hurry up and come down the chimney. But dark things take, we move through these things. Let's learn from them. Let's not just be sorrowful about them. Let's learn from them. I'm going to tell you my Christmas lady story. This is the time of year I tell it. So she was very newly divorced, and she had three children. And she and her and the father of the children had made a nice agreement that at Christmas time he would take them on Christmas Eve and take them to his family and have the celebration there. He'd bring them back very, 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 very late and tuck them into bed and leave, and she would then be there when they woke up in the morning and have Christmas in the morning with the children. And that seems fair, doesn't it? Well, tell that to your heart. When that mother on Christmas Eve was so used to the wonderful ritual of putting out the cookies for Santa and having the hot chocolate for the children with the tiny marshmallows and all the little routine that they had and the excitement as she put them to bed, she was there by herself. And she was beginning to feel sorry for herself. She knew they were coming back that night. She'd have them in the morning. But she missed them. And then she decided, that's not who I am. That's not how I was raised. I know that they are in the right place, having a wonderful time with that part of the family. And so she just opened her heart. I think she actually did a spiritual mind treatment. And the next thing she knew, she was prompted to go to a local drugstore and buy all kinds of little gifts and wrap them, and went to the nearest skilled nursing facility. And as she walked in, she found that there were a lot of people there, some in the hallway, sitting in their wheelchairs, nobody visiting them at all. She walked through, she got permission, of course, from the person at the desk, and she handed out these little gifts and patted them, and people took her hand, and it was just such a divine connection everywhere. Everybody won, and smiles on everybody's faces. And she came out, and then she went to a candlelight service at her church and had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas Eve, and established a tradition then for every year to come. And then when she got home and was waiting for the children to come, her heart was peaceful and happy and grateful. Welcomed the children. Of course, they were already asleep. Helped to tuck them into bed. And in the morning, had a great celebration with the children. And I know that woman's name. Her initials are MK. We can take whatever is unpleasant. And by the way, now, my eldest, who was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 at the time, ultimately brought me some fabulous gifts as he grew up and became a man. And the first one was this young lady right here, my granddaughter. Did I make you cry? I'm so proud. So, patience and persistence and opening our hearts to some divine ideas instead of staying too long in the darkness, that's an important thing. Don't leave that acorn in there too long. It's never going to get to be that great oak tree. Patience and persistence reap the reward of an even brighter dawn of consciousness. Because, of course, the dark and the light that we're experiencing here in this wonderful season, we want to embrace that light. And let's remember that it's really about our consciousness itself that we're speaking of. Is there anyone here who's never had any dark times? I didn't think I would see a raised hand. That's just part of the human condition. And as a result of that, we become stronger, we become wiser, we become more compassionate because we understand other people when they're going through something we've been through. And we can stand there with them with our arms open, knowing that where two or more are gathered, that divinity is present and lifts us both. So we move into the light then, and we embrace it, we dance with it. Boy, did we dance last night. It's a fabulous experience to then walk steadfastly, harmoniously, lovingly as adults of God who like to become as little children from time to time. Isn't it important? You know, except you become as a little child, you don't enter the kingdom. And that means leaving everything else behind, leaving the, oh, I'm so smart, or I'm so rich, or other things that ego gets involved with. Come as a child in your heart, and the maturity of the mind that was given to you by God, because you and I share that one mind. This one mind is God's mind. And every time we think, and every time we choose, and every time we make a new decision in the light of day, we're utilizing the mind of God. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? It's not just that you've got a great IQ, I have no doubt. But it's way more than that. Because the infinite intelligence of this universe brought each of us into being, fills us constantly, moment by moment, with that divine intentionality. We are co-creators with the divine. We want to step up to it And in doing so, we embrace both the darkness and the light, and now we're moving into the greater light. So we give thanks for our opportunity to be the divinity that we truly are, and to see that morning wins. Morning always wins. Will you say with me, I move courageously through the dark and quiet journey. I move courageously through the dark and quiet journey. I am blessed by the emerging light. I am blessed by the emerging light. I'm grateful for the seasons of my heart. I'm grateful for the seasons of my heart. I am one with the great universal harmony. I am one with the great universal harmony. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.